we have a word of prayer before we, as we start. Heavenly Father, we are totally, completely, and absolutely dependent on You. Your Son Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we open Your Word today, we would have ears to hear. Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring forth Your Word in power and clarity. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be available to the Word entering them and taking root there and changing us in the name of Jesus. Amen. About 6 years ago, some of y'all may remember, I had an operation where I had both feet messed up for about a month. That was the first time the Lord put this on my heart. So I don't hurry very often. Take my time. And the Lord, within the last few weeks, has really put it on my heart to share with you about the presence of God. What it is, where it is, why we need it, if we need it. We'll also talk a little bit about wisdom in Proverbs and how that relates to the presence of God. We'll also touch just a little bit on the fear of God and how that relates to the presence of God. So bear with me. I'm going to try to stay slow and calm. I'm excitable, so the Lord will take care of that. Jerry, I'm starting on page 4, so there's no not getting off page 1 today. There are a lot of scriptures, and I will just, as we go, I've got a list and I'm going down the list. That's the way I think the Lord wants me to do it. So the first one about the presence of God is going to be Genesis 3:3-8. This is soon after a woman had listened to the serpent, and man listened to woman, and they had realized, now that they had had that, what they thought would be being like God, what they had actually done, and they realized they had sinned. They knew it. So in 3:8, and they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of God. They knew they had sinned. Let's go to Jonah 1:3. Here, Jehovah had called Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah sinned and decided he wasn't going to go. He was going to get on a boat and go to Tarsus. And here's what he did. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarsus from the presence of Jehovah. Here we go again. Another guy in the Bible has sinned, and he's going to run from the presence of God. That scares me to death. You remember what happened? He, the boat and the storm and the fish. And, you know, what was he thinking about? Running from the presence of God. And I wonder sometimes if that's what we do when we sin or we don't like the way things are going. Let's go to Job 1:12. Somebody help me. It's in the middle. I didn't write down that page number. Right before Psalms. Okay. Early on. So Jonah. So Job. He's the guy that God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Doth Job hear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and all about him he hath on every side? Satan asked, aren't you protecting him? And then God said, okay, everything that he has you can take away except his life. And all the way down to Well, thank you. And Jehovah said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in your hand, only that he will himself not, you can't put your hand on him. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. That's a good thing. Satan went forth from the presence of God. He left. That's a good thing. So those are the three things about the presence of God. And I think that lots of times when we either sin or we doubt what God is trying to do, we will run. We will try to get away from the presence of God. And there is no place to run. God is going to find us out. And He's going to work His work in us. Now or later. So we need to remember that the presence of God is where we ought to desire to be, where we ought to take refuge in, not outside His presence. We need to come to Him. Sometimes we get to a place in our lives where we've got 100 things going on. There are things being asked of you, and you're asking things of other folks, and there begins to be a turmoil in your heart. We need to remember that turmoil or chaos inside us is not of God. We shouldn't have a turmoil and chaos going on inside of us. We come and ask the Lord, Lord, let me come into Your presence. We will find peace in that place. So we need to remember, when we are running 100 miles an hour, the devil's lying to us. At the other hand, the Lord may be trying to teach us something. That chaos and worry is foreign from God. It's foreign from what He desires for His people. We're all busy. That's for sure. Jonah was plenty busy, but he was asked to do something. So as we're called by the Lord, let us remember to stop and ask, Lord, let me come into Your presence. Let me take a refuge there. Bring me peace and quiet so You can work out in me what You desire in me. We need to try not to be afraid of what the Lord wants to do. And I think Jonah, and especially Adam and Eve, were scared to death. That's one thing we don't have to be, is scared to death, because death has been taken care of for us through the blood of Jesus. Now I'm going to go back to page one. And could we go to Psalm 84, verse 2? Psalms is right after Job. And I would ask the question, is this what we do? Is this what we feel? Is this what we pray? Is this what we ask the Lord to do in us? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Do we do that in times of trouble? Do we cry out for the heart of the living God, or do we try to run from the presence of God and find our peace and refuge somewhere else? There is nowhere else. We've got to go back to the presence and life of God to find that peace, to find that tranquil resting place. Oh, y'all, any of y'all feel tired all the time? I do. I think a lot of it's because I choose to try to handle things myself and not return to the resting place of the presence of God to get my strength. The Lord's teaching us all. He's certainly teaching me. He's going to use different things. He may use weakness in your body. He may use trouble with you, between you and your spouse. He may use your children. He may use other brothers and sisters. But how are we to handle that? We're to return to the presence of God and find peace in Him. All the chaos is not of God. We need to rest in Him. Psalm 71:3. Be to me a rock of habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given a commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Be to me a rock of habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Continually, constantly, always. Do we resort to our rock continually? Or do things have to get to a point of fear, where fear comes in, and then we resort? I like the hymn, "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus." Well, one moment at a time, the book says, whereunto I may continually resort. We can, because the book says we can. God is always there for us. We need to remember to do that. I think this continually is a really, really important thing. As the day, as we go through the day, continually, things come up at moment by moment, or do for me. I've got a little, it's not even a desk, it's a plywood box with a lid on it. That's my desk at work. And you're getting hit from all sides. You never know what's going to go on. I took a piece of paper and cut it out and put it down where I can see it. If I look down, which I do a lot, I've got a little piece of paper cut out, and I drew a cross on it and wrote, "Thank you, Jesus," on it. Joel, so if I've got my eyes open and I look down, I see that. That may not be the spiritual way. The spiritual way would be, "Ah, I thought of Jesus." Well, when I'm in the turmoil, if I look down and see that note, I run straight to Him. I'll run to the presence of God. Take 2 seconds and get your breath. It doesn't take any time. It's instantaneous. We don't have to beg and plead with God to come into His refuge, to continually be in His rest. That's a good thing. We don't have to go out and get a sheep without a blemish, bring it, build a fire, start the fire, throw the sheep on it, let it burn us an incense up. Can you imagine? What has Jesus done for us? We don't have to run anywhere. We don't have to do anything. God's done it all. Jesus Christ has done it all. That we could find peace and a continuous dwelling with our Heavenly Father, Jehovah Elohim. 71:24. It's the same thing. It's said different, but it's the same thing. A little different. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day. All the day, continually. Talk of thy righteousness. What do our tongues talk about? What are our tongues? Where do our tongues lead us? That's time mine leads me down a path where I should not go. What does the book say? The book says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all day long. We all have work. We have work to do. We're going to use our tongues for our work. We have to interact with people. But being in the presence of God will allow us to speak of His righteousness all day long. In our hearts. In our inner man. Where Jesus dwells. That's another great thing about when there are probably some nurses and doctors. Our heart is inside this cage. When they say you're going to have open heart surgery, there's a real hard thing right there. To get through into that, they've got to break that. Then they've got to move those ribs out of the way so they can get to the heart. Well, Jesus is further in our heart than that. He's protected. The devil in this world can't get to Him in us. Even if that heart quits beating, they can't get to Him. Think of that. Do we protect Jesus in ourselves? Do we realize the preciousness of Him being inside us? That ministers to me. We can't. We'll never. He will not let us go. He's got us. And where would we go even if He let us go? Psalm 36:7. I enjoy the Psalms a lot. There's not a whole lot of New Testament in this ministry today. When Janine and I taught the children, lots of times as a group, the teachers would pick up a book of the Bible to work on through for the time. In other years, they would say, well, let's just start at Genesis and go through the book. Each week, another chapter. And we're talking about children that are, for us, we're usually 6 years old or younger. Golly, Deuteronomy? I need to talk to these kids about Deuteronomy. The Lord told me one day, He said, find Jesus in Deuteronomy. Find Jesus and minister Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to these children every week. You've only got an hour. Be sure that they know Jesus loves them and He died for them. Deuteronomy's got it. Leviticus has got it. Psalms has got it a lot. So that's, I like the Old Testament. The Lord used the children. Taught me plenty. I don't know what the children got, but He taught me plenty. what did I say, 36:7? How precious is thy loving kindness, O Lord. So the sons of men take refuge under the shadow of thy wings. I mentioned the word refuge a couple of minutes ago. Where do we take our refuge? Do we take our refuge in? Let's run back to the house. It's safe there. Do we take refuge in our family members? Which is good. Thank God we've got family to run to. Thank God we've got brothers and sisters to run to. But where is our real refuge? Where is the only place we can find the peace of God? In the presence of God. It's available to us. I don't use it as often as I should. But the book tells us. But what comforts us? What brings us comfort? A warm blanket because your feet are cold. A warm drink because your insides are cold. Excuse me. I don't drink anything warm. That's crazy. I'm always hot inside. I don't need anything else. The presence of God is our comfort. Jesus is our comfort. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And the Lord said it would behoove us for Him to leave and that the Holy Spirit would be sent. It would be better for us if He left and the Holy Spirit was sent. Do we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives to be our comfort? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to carry our prayers back to the Lord asking for peace and calm? I don't like the word tranquility because that's a worldly word to me. But there is true tranquility in the presence of God for all of us. May we turn and go back to the presence of God in the days of trouble and pressure and worries. Psalm 5:7. But as for me, this is David. This is Herb. I pray it would be me. I pray it would be each of us. But as for me, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, I will enter thy house. I will bow down toward the temple of thy holiness in thy fear. I will enter thy house. House is not a building. House is not an address. The house is the body of Christ and the life of the Lord Jesus in it. Where are we going to run to? What are we going to cherish? Take care of? What do we call important? I think that running to thy house is real important. We run around a lot. We all do. We're busy. I don't feel busy. My wife says it's because I'm still a kid. People at work say it's because you're big and nobody will give you any trouble. My father is a little guy. About here. Skinny. Solid as a rock. I wouldn't give Him any trouble. We sure shouldn't give our Heavenly Father any trouble. Who are we to give God trouble? Who am I to give God trouble? Run to His house. Find refuge there. If you've lost your peace, it's not gone. You're just avoiding it. We're avoiding it. Man, my peace is gone. Where did it go? Jesus didn't change. Our Heavenly Father didn't change. Golly, how many times did David in the Psalms say, "Give me peace"? How many times did David sin and God still had His peace for him? I haven't counted up David's sins, but they're way less than mine still. And as far as the severity of sins, there's no such thing. If our heart is wrong towards God, it might as well have been Bathsheba. We need to remember that. Come back to the house of God. Find your refuge and your peace there. Be together with your brothers and sisters. Be together with your family too. Thank God all my family's saved. Folks that have family that's not saved, pray for them. Call me. I'll pray for them. Let somebody know. Let the church do its job. We have a job. It's to get ready for the Lord to come back. And then talk about being home. And when we get there, do we bow down at His house? Or do we make demands? Or ask for things? Well, I'm going to the Lord's house. Do we bow down and worship? Or do we go and we have a list of our needs, our desires, our wants? Nothing wrong with wants. There's really nothing wrong with needs. God's going to provide our needs. The book says the needs are going to be taken care of. There's a outdoor writer named Pat McManus. He is insane. He told a story one time of getting scared in the woods. And he coined a phrase and made a suggestion to all of us that have ever been lost in the woods. When you panic, make it a modified stationary panic. Bounce off trees, but stay in the same area. Somebody will find you. In the church. When we get panicked, man, bounce off the church. Bounce off the walls, but don't get outside. Golly, get back in. Stay. Panic, man, go ahead and panic. Bounce off everybody. Man, I am panicked. When I was 14, because my grandfather and his brothers and my uncles were all hunters and killers of animals for food, I thought that that's what I was supposed to be, a hunter, a killer of animals. We had gone, I spent a lot of time in Bath and Augusta County growing up. It's beautiful there. I like to just be up there in the woods. I didn't care much about the hunting. But I did it. I killed a couple of deer. I decided early on, I told my granddaddy, let's go fishing. This killing deer is just not working. I'm glad I was able to. Because my grandfather, he was wise. He said to me, if you hadn't have told me, how would I have known? God already knows. But we still need to tell Him. Ask Him. So my grandfather, it's fine. I'll go up for Thanksgiving dinner. Go up to Williamsville for Thanksgiving dinner. What is that? Well, that's peanut butter and jelly sitting on the back of on the tailgate of a pickup truck, freezing to death, waiting to kill deer. Thanksgiving dinner is not that. Well, we went to Williamsville one time. This is getting back to the panic, modified stationary panic. We went to Williamsville to hunt one time, and there was a mountain called Bird Mountain there. And it was explained very simply to me. You're going to walk across the top ridge of this mountain. Uncle Dewey is going to be just on the other side of that ridge. And Uncle Campbell's going to be down below. And we're just going to walk this mountain and scare these deer out so the guys with the big guns sitting at the bottom of the hill can kill them. Got it. And anytime you want to go, hoo, hoo, so you know the other guy's right there. So I'm walking along and we're hooing. and we're who now. I mean, you walk a long ways when you're hunting in the mountains. These deer aren't trapped in fenced areas where you can kill them. These deer are wild. So I'm walking along the correct direction. Who? I've been walking a while. Who? Who? Nothing. Not a sound. Thank God Jesus saved my soul when I was 9. Because I knew I was going to die that day. Well, I said who about 3 times, and when there was no answer, I panicked. Not a modified stationary panic. Calling on the name of Jesus, I'm lost and going to die on this mountain tonight because it's going to get down to 0 degrees. And I don't have a match. Next thing I know, I am running. Loaded shotgun. Who? Jesus loves me, this I know. Who? For the Bible tells me so. I am turned slam around. I am lost. How lost were we before the Lord found us? I was completely and totally lost. I was scared to death. It had gone from past panic. There's a place past panic and fear that is absolutely unbelievable. It paralyzed me. And I was calling on the name of the Lord. It got dark. The story ends well. I'm not dead. It got dark. What I had done was I had dropped over the wrong ridge, the wrong side of the mountain. When I got on the wrong side of the mountain, I could no longer hear my uncles. I ran up the wrong side of the mountain. Got so turned around, when I finally did come back across the... And I didn't know I'd come back across the mountain. I found the river. But the river was running in the wrong direction. That is lost. What if you went to leave here and cross the Huguenot Bridge and the water was going that way? I cried out. I screamed. I am lost. Somebody save me. I got to the river and there are cliffs. These aren't little hills or mountains. They're cliffs. Climbing on these cliffs, trying to get to the river. Got down to the river, crossed the river. This is a wide river, not like wide like the James, but for a mountain river, it was wide and deep and cold. It was Thanksgiving. I saw a light, and I screamed until I could not scream anymore. I am lost. Somebody save me. Well, I remembered. Yeah, you shoot your shotgun 3 times when you're scared. When there's trouble, so I'm firing that shotgun. Until I didn't have any shells left. Finally, this guy, I see him come out with the lantern. I mean, this was like a freak show. A lantern coming through the woods. The river is raging. I can't hardly hear. I'm already cold. I'm tired. This guy says, "Where did you start out this morning?" Williamsville. That's 7 miles down the river. I had run 7 miles in the wrong direction. How far do we run for the Lord before He says, "You're running in the wrong direction"? I asked the man, "What should I do?" "Cross the river." You're kidding me. I walked in that river. Raging cold mountain river. Shotgun over my head. I never slipped. I never went under. Walked across the river, climbed up on the bank. The man took me to his cabin. Got my clothes fairly dry and drove me back to Williamsville. My grandfather and my uncles wept when they saw me. They knew I had fallen in a clay cave and died. They wept. My parents never knew about it. They're in Richmond. They had their peace of mind. They're at home. What does our Heavenly Father do for us? How does Jesus weep for us when we're lost? How much does He long for us to come into His presence and find our peace and our relief and our tranquility? Man. John, Jonathan, I apologize. How long will it take? Oh, I've probably got about 20 minutes to share. I apologize. Brothers, I do. Psalm 62. Where do we run? Where do we hide? Modified stationary panic. Psalm 62. I love this. Verses 1 and 2. Upon God alone doth my soul rest peacefully. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my high fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. 5 and 6. Upon God alone, O my soul, rest peacefully. O my soul, do it. Rest peacefully. For my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My high fortress, I shall not be moved. Verses 7 and 8. God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge. My refuge is in God. Eight. Confide in Him at all times. We get back to continually. Always. Coming back to our Lord. Coming back to our Heavenly Father. Confide in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is your refuge. God is your refuge. God is your refuge. Man, He certainly is. I like this. In 8 verses, they say David said the same thing 3 times. Anytime that I read something in the Bible 3 times, I figure it's pretty important. Not that all of it's not important. Or maybe I just realize it's in there 3 times because God wants to get my attention. That's probably a better way to say it. This seemed to be really important in this particular psalm. He said it 3 times. Lord have mercy. Okay. Proverbs 2:5. I'm sorry, let's do 1:7 first. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs comes after Psalms. One seven. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Do we fear the Holy God? Not a fear like Kenny taught on a few weeks ago. A healthy fear of Jehovah. Do we do that? Not fearing His wrath. So if you do, that's okay. That's what I'm afraid of. The wrath of God. The ball of fire. Thrown. Janine, get out of the house. I've done something really bad this time. What did you do? I'm not going to tell you. Grab the cat and go. How do we start to have wisdom? By fearing God? By being in God's presence? Where does wisdom come from? Reading the book? Thank God. Reading the book inspired by the Holy Spirit and our hearts being willing to accept what the book says. Anybody can read the book, not know anything about the fear of God. So while we read the book, our brother Ed Miller, now we're talking probably 12, 15 years ago. Got up one time and said, "You got to remember something. Without the most important thing that you must do before you study the Word of God is to ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to you, to show it to you." That's why men that teach this book at university don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They read it as a book, not as the unchangeable Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. How do we read the book? Do we read the book desiring that wisdom would come from it? Do we read the book desiring that we would understand how to fear God? Do we read the book hoping that it will bring us into the presence of God? I'm trying to do that. Sometimes it's just easier to read a book. Find a story for the kids. That's easy. Noah, Jonah, Moses. But don't tell them about Moses killing the guy. God even redeemed that. Guy at work asked me one, well, he... He still doesn't know the Lord. And I've known him for 20 years. I asked him one time, I don't know why, I just was being a smart guy. I said, "Do people that do murder go to hell or go to heaven?" He said, "No, they don't." I said, "Moses killed a guy." "No, he did not." "No way." I said, "Yeah, he did. You think he's in heaven?" "Well, yeah, he's in heaven. Wasn't he the guy that led the Israelites out of..." "Yeah, that guy, he killed a guy." "He did not." I showed him. He said, "There's still hope for me getting there." 20 years later, still doesn't know the Lord. I prayed for this man. Wept for this man. I bet I don't see him once every 2 years anymore. But God hadn't forgotten him. God doesn't forget us. No matter how much we want to run from the presence of God, no matter how much we want to fight God giving us wisdom, no matter how much we decide we don't need to fear God, He doesn't forget us. Thank God. Thank God. Proverbs 2:5. That then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. Jehovah giveth wisdom. Jehovah giveth wisdom. First, we have to apply our heart. Do we apply our heart to the Word of God and desire Him to give us wisdom? Secondly, we have to incline our ear. Do we have when we are in the Word, when we are listening to the ministries, when we are worshiping, do we incline our ear to hear what God is trying to teach us? So as you got the heart, you got the ear. Three. If you've done those things, wisdom will come to you. And it says, lift up thy voice to understanding. I understand, Lord. Teach me. Change me. If we're not changing, we're not doing it right. The right way, the book says, is apply thy heart and incline thy ear. We must understand the fear of Jehovah to find the knowledge of God. It all works together. Wisdom to bring us into the presence of God. Knowledge to bring us into the presence of God. Incline our ear. Oh God, let us hear. Wisdom is a shield to them who walk in integrity. Find wisdom, then you will find understanding, righteousness, judgment, equity, and every good path. Where do we walk? That was pretty good. Wisdom is a shield to them who walk in integrity. Integrity. That's the way you can tell someone of the world. Real quick, no integrity. God expects integrity from us. Demands integrity. What about our testimony? How will we blemish our testimony if we do not have integrity? If we do not have wisdom, if we do not understand, if we do not have righteousness. That we can find every good path. Not the path that we may want. It may not look good. God didn't say it would look good. He said that you will find every good path. Path may not look good. But if God tells you to go down it, if God tells me to go down it, I don't the first few times. Are we willing? Do we have a willing heart? If we had wisdom, we would certainly say, well, that would be the wise thing to do. But are our hearts willing to go down every good path? That God can change us? Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded. We talked about guarding your heart, the way God protected our heart with the structure. What verse was it? 23. Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. The important things. Guard it. Proverbs 8:13. A different thought. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. What does God hate? God hates evil. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. Do we hate evil? I don't mean the evil that we don't talk about because it's so bad. I mean the evil that's in our hearts. The evil that's in my heart. Do I want that evil separated from me? Thank God the sins are forgiven. Our salvation is secure. Do we want to have the knowledge, work at having the wisdom, praying to God to remove that evil from us, that we can walk before God on every good path, into the presence of Him, into the presence of God? Do we hate evil? Well, that wasn't really that bad. Read that verse. Somebody comes into work and says, let me tell you a joke. I say, is it dirty? Well, it's not really dirty. I say, well, is it a little dirty? It's a little dirty. I don't want to hear it. The guys know not to come in my back room using foul language and telling dirty jokes because I'm big. No, thank God they know where I stand. And if they don't, they'll find out quick enough. New ones come in. Guy comes up the ramp, never seen him before in my life. He walks in, you know what he says? Everybody's told me about you. He doesn't say, everybody says that you're mean or that you are intolerant. Thank God, God is tolerant. Thank God when we walk up the path, open the door, and Jesus is there, and we say, Jesus, He says, glad you could come in. I don't have to walk up and say, I've heard about you. And He would say, I've heard about you. All I see is me and you because the Father only sees me and you. It's all our Heavenly Father sees in us is what Jesus has in us. What has been replaced in us with Jesus is what the Heavenly Father sees. Thank God. How about we take the Jesus out and then He looks? Thank God it doesn't work that way. We don't need to dwell on the bad things. We need to beg God to change us, to root it out. You know those pokeberry bushes, those purple berries? Now, bamboo is bad, but I believe a pokeberry bush is worse. You can dig 2 feet in the ground, get a root that is that. I've got one in the middle of my rose bush. I've got a rose bush that is that big around. Most beautiful bush. Right slam in the middle of it. Boom. This pokeberry every year. I've dug, I've cut, I've poured gasoline in him. I tried to kill half the plant one time to get him out of there. It doesn't happen. How deep is it embedded in us? Do we have pokeberry brushes that Do we have pokeberry bushes that need to be dug out? Taken out of us and thrown away? I do. So I'm always bruised up, banged up. Do we hate evil or do we justify evil according to our feelings or our desires or our wants? Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of Jehovah is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. In the fear of Jehovah, place of confidence where His children will have refuge. We have a place. We have a place that's been prepared for us by God. God is going to prepare a place. Jesus went to prepare a place, but we've got a place right now in the presence of God. Are we going to enter into that place? Enter into that refuge? Enter into the fear of God? Enter into wisdom? Enter into the presence of God continually so we don't slip. You know what a little bit of a slip can do to an old person? What do you think of when you say she slipped? She's 95. Well, she must have broke her hip when she hit the ground. When we make a little slip, what is lost? What could have been gained? What can be gained if we use the wisdom of God, the fear of God, the presence of God when we slip? Help us, Lord, not to slip. And when we do, we're going to. We're by no means perfect. Well, where do we run? Run to our Lord. Oh, okay. Did I say 14:27? Is that the one the fear of Jehovah is the fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. The fear of Jehovah is the fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. We're back to page 4. Thank God. The fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. We have a fountain of life in us, to turn away from the snares of death. The devil knows that we are the Lord's. But he knows all he can do is try to keep us out of the presence of God, for becoming more wise in God, for fearing God. Thank God our salvation is secure. Let's remember that we have a place where we're protected from the snares of death and fearing the Lord. Our Lord Jesus is our refuge and our life. Lastly, Obadiah. That's on page 1106. Those of you who are using the Darby. Obadiah 1:15. For the day of Jehovah is near upon all the nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy recompense shall return upon thine own head. For the day of Jehovah is near upon all the nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy recompense shall return upon thine own head. What have we done? Where have we gone? The day of Jehovah is at hand. Can't be long. But myself, I take your time, Lord. I've got a lot of things I want to do. That's probably the wrong path. If I've got things I want to do, holding the Lord up from coming back, just take my little thing. Well, wait a second, Lord. We're not ready. We will never be ready. If we wait for everybody to get ready. Well, if we wait till everybody's ready, y'all will never go because I won't be ready. Hang on, Lord. I've got some stuff I still want to do. Let us come back to the presence of the Lord. Dwell there. Take refuge there. Find our peace there. It's in the book. Thank all of y'all for your patience with me. Thank all of y'all for the opportunity to share what the Lord started about 7 years ago. Let's pray together. Lord, change us. Put a desire in our hearts to be in your presence. Put a desire in our hearts to quiet ourselves when we feel troubled. Lord, you have a place for us to rest and be comforted away from the chaos. Lord, teach us to call upon your name continually. Teach us to take refuge in you, Lord. Prepare us for the day of Jehovah is at hand. Lord, we pray that Your word would not go out to ears that can't hear, to hearts that aren't ready to be fed. Change us, Lord. Amen.